here we are. This is the last Sunday of 2019, and I know this sounds like a cliche, but okay, when I was younger, it was a cliche to say, you know, time flies. But you know, now that I'm a little older, I think it is true. Time does fly. It's odd because in my mind, it still feels like 2019 is just starting. And here we are, you know, we're at the end already. And I think at the end of all things, it's always nice to look back. And, you know, the Bible passage we're going to be looking at today, it does say to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. But having said that, indulge me for a minute here to look back at the year. You know, it's good to look back at the things that are behind because we can reflect on the things that have happened and give thanks. Right? Well, one of the songs we like to sing is Count Your Blessings. And the song says, count your blessings, count them in general. No, count them one by one. To count your blessings one by one, you do have to look back at the things that have gone, the things that are behind. And so it's good always to look back at the year that's gone by and see what there is to give thanks for. But also it's good to look back at the things behind because that's how we learn. Right? Especially as we have made mistakes. I didn't say if we have made mistakes. I know we all have made mistakes. But in our mistakes, we go back and we learn from our mistakes. And it's always good to look back. But I do want to encourage all of us this morning, you know, and sometimes as you look back at the year, or I guess this year you can look back at the decade, you know, we're hitting 2020. You look back and you may feel like, I haven't made any progress. You may feel like you haven't changed for the better. You haven't grown much at all. Left and right, you're hearing testimonies from so-and-so about how they don't lose their temper anymore. Or, you know, you're hearing from so-and-so sharing about how their friends are saying they don't recognize them anymore because they're not as mean like they used to be. And then here you are, you're looking at yourself and like, you know what, I'm the same as it ever was. You know, nothing has changed. And oftentimes, this is the thing, when the Lord works in us, it is very slow and gradual. More often than not. And there are times when the Lord works in us and bam, there's an instantaneous change. But more often than not, the way that the Lord works in us, it is slow and it is gradual. And there is a spiritual basis for this. Right? In Luke chapter 16, it tells us, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? If you can't be faithful, if you can't do the right thing and make the right choices in the small things, you can't be trusted with the big things. And so the way the Lord works is through the little things. Through the little things, each little encounter we have with the decision that we have to make, each time that we're faced with temptation, every little encounter is like a fork in the road. And you gotta keep choosing the right one so that you'll end up where you need to be. And if you think about it, all these little changes that the Lord brings about in your life is to prepare you one day to handle something bigger. Right? And so we need to be thankful for the gradual changes, for the little things. You know, the little decisions that you make, they shape you. They shape your character. They define who you become, right? And so, you know, these day-to-day small things are not noticeable until one day you look back at everything that's accumulated, right? And then one day you look back and you see everything that's added up and you realize that, you know what, something has happened. And, you know, when I say the word accumulated, you know, some of you just heard about this from Alice this morning. The word accumulated actually strikes some fear into my heart. And I say this because over the weekend, Alice took apart our rage hood, you know, that little thing above your stove that sucks up the air. She took it apart and she cleaned it out. And I don't have pictures of it, but it was nasty. You know, the way she was describing it, there was maybe two to three inches of sludge gathered up there. She took the thing up and there was this much oil and it's like black butter. And I think Zoe said, I wonder what it tastes like, right? And that's an accumulation, right? On a day-to-day basis, as we're using the stove, as we're cooking, you know, smoke gets sucked up. When we don't see, right, little by little, it accumulates until one day you take things apart and you look and say, a lot has added up. And that's a lot, I know it's kind of a gross illustration, but a lot of times our spiritual life, as we walk in the Lord, the little changes, we don't see it from day to day. One day you look back and there's a whole lot of spiritual grease that's added up, and that's good stuff, right? And you don't see it until you look back long distance. You know, and we don't see until we can look back at everything, right? At the big picture. But here's the thing. There is a reason why Paul says not to look at things in the past. Right? As much as we want to reflect and be thankful and to learn from the past, Paul brings us from another perspective of why we don't want to dwell on the past. So turn with me. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And at the right at the beginning, chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, we're going to go through this. We're going to fly right through it. But here, Paul gives us a list of the things that he can rightly boast in, right? Starting in verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So Paul says, look, we who worship the Lord God, we don't take confidence in the flesh. But I love the way he sets that up. He says then in verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. So he says, we believe in God, and so we take no confidence in the flesh. But let me tell you, if we were to take confidence in the flesh, I have a lot to take confidence in. What does he say? If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul says, look, you want to talk about credentials. My lineage is perfect. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm circumcised on the eighth day, just as the law dictates. You want to talk about the law? I know the law inside and out. You want to talk about being perfect? I am blameless in the law. And I think Paul has the right to say that. He is very meticulous about following the law. And so Paul says, in the flesh, if we're just talking about in the flesh, what we accomplish on our own, man, you want to boast? I can outboast any of you. And he's right. He's not exaggerating. He is right. And yet, with everything that he can claim, everything that he has accomplished in the flesh, he goes on to say in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All this stuff that I just mentioned, that I could boast in, these all could be gained for me. It's all stuff I can take pride in. It's all stuff I can tell people about, and they would have to respect me for it. But, these things I have counted loss for Christ. What does it mean? Why does Paul count these things as loss? Why does he say these things are not meaningful? Things that are good, that are worth boasting about. Verse 8. We're going to read verse 8 to 11. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So, put another way, these few verses, put another way, Paul says, I have a lot that I can boast in. There is a lot that I can boast in, but I want to make sure that I depend on nothing but Jesus alone. I have all these accomplishments that I can take pride in, but I want to make sure that I boast in nothing but Jesus alone. And so for that sake, I am going to consider everything that I could boast in as garbage, as rubbish, as trash. In some translations, he says dung. You know what dung is. I'm going to consider all of this trash so that I would depend on nothing but Jesus alone. Imagine today, let's say, who's got the newest car here? Michael, imagine that I asked you to depend on me completely for your transportation needs. Anything you need, Michael, call me and I'll drive you. And if you're a good kid, okay, Pastor Jason says so, I'll do it. And so, you want to avoid the temptation of driving your own car because Pastor Jason says he's your everything as far as transportation goes. And so, to make sure that you don't ever be tempted to drive your own car, you take a brand new Subaru, drive it to the junkyard. Don't cry. You get rid of it. You count it as rubbish. I don't want this anymore. As nice as the car is, as well as it drives and getting me from place to place, because I want to depend only on Jason, I'm going to take this car and consider it rubbish. That's what he's doing here with all his accomplishments, his lineage, his everything that he's done perfectly well. He says, for the sake of attaining what Christ has promised me, and that I would depend on that and that alone, I'm going to consider everything that I've ever done to be rubbish. I don't want any of that. Right? And that's Paul. He says, if by any means I can attain to the resurrection from the dead, if by any means I would depend solely on the resurrection of Christ, I'm desperate for that. Paul says, I am desperate for that. And so I'm willing to get rid of it. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Paul understands, as much as he has done with his life, at this point in life, Jesus has met him. Jesus has met him, revealed himself to Paul. Paul's been converted. He is a Christian now. His zeal has been turned from persecuting the church to building churches. Right? So in a sense, you can look at Paul and say, look, Paul, you're good. You're fine. You're done. You're already on the right path. But Paul says, I don't consider that I have attained it yet, what Christ has promised me. I don't consider that I'm already perfected. And Paul says, I understand that I need to press on. I need to press on. Because he understands it wasn't on his own, by his own strength, or by his own will, that he came to know Jesus. You know the story of Paul. He was Saul at the time. He was on the way to Damascus. He had a letter from Rome giving him permission to go to Damascus to round up the Christians, to round up the church folks, arrest them, bring them back to Rome, throw them in jail, and most of them will probably end up dead. That's what Paul was doing. He was on the way to Damascus, and the Lord met him. It wasn't like Paul was saying, Jesus, I need to know you more. I want to worship you. You are my king. And singing, Amazing Love. No. He was on the way to go persecute Christians, and then Jesus came and said, bam, here I am. Right? You know the story. The light came, and the voice spoke, and Paul was knocked off his horse, or donkey, whatever he was riding. He was blinded. Jesus came and laid hold of him. That's what this verse means. He wants to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of him. He understood it was not by any of his own doing, but that Jesus came and grabbed him and said, Saul, I want you for my own. I am going to use you. I am going to change you. I am going to show myself to you for something greater. And so Paul says, I get it that I didn't do this on my own, that Jesus grabbed me, and he grabbed me for a specific reason. He wanted to give me eternal life. And Paul says, understanding that Jesus grabbed hold of him, wanted to give him eternal life, Paul says, I understand, I haven't attained it yet. I'm not perfected yet. He's still here on the earth. He's still living. As long as he still has days left, as long as he's still got breath, he understands he needs to keep striving not to earn salvation, because none of us can earn salvation, but he understood he needs to keep living out what Jesus wanted for him. And Jesus said, Jesus told, remember, if you remember, when Paul was waiting, right, the Lord told Paul, go to Damascus, wait there and pray. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, go see this gentleman. I want you to lay hold of him and pray for him. And Ananias said, are you sure? He's persecuting people. He's coming to take us, to kill us. And the Lord said, I have use for this man. Right? The Lord has use for Paul. The Lord has a purpose for Paul. And Paul says, I haven't attained it yet. I need to keep pressing on. And that's the one thing that we can take away here. I hope we can take away at the end of 2019. That we can be like Paul. We can be like Paul and realize that no matter how far you've come, right? As you look back at this year, there's a lot to be thankful for. There's many ways that all of us here have grown. I'm looking at each of you, even if you're not making eye contact, and I know in each of you that in your life, in one way or another, you've grown somewhat. Some more than others, but we're not here to compare. But you've grown. But as you look back at 2019 and see how you've grown, here's the thing. You've got to keep pressing on. Right? We have to be careful not to become satisfied with how much you've grown in the Lord this year and then become stagnant. Rejoice in it, yes, and I rejoice with you to see how you've grown, how you've matured. But the rejoicing must not cause you to become stagnant. And it happens often. It happens often in many areas of life. Right? I've shared this many times. You know, my wife has been encouraging me for years to, why did I say my wife? Alice, you don't know her. Alice has been encouraging me for years to get healthy. Because the way I eat, the things I eat, it's not great, right? And so, it's not about losing weight, per se. But that, apparently, is an indication of how healthy you are. Also, how much of this hangs over your belt. But anyway, she's been encouraging me to be more careful with what I eat. And so, I try, you know, for maybe 2-3 days, I'll eat salad, avocado, tomatoes, and then I feel really proud of myself at what I've accomplished. And then I celebrate with food that I shouldn't be eating. And that's the way we are, right? We make some progress, we get a little farther, and then we stop to pat ourselves on the back, and you know, if I'm not careful what I eat, pretty soon I won't be able to reach anymore. We have to not get too absorbed in the progress we've made, right? And this is what we do. I do it a lot where I've made progress and I just sit there and I bask in it and I congratulate myself and I stop pressing forward, right? We start reading the Bible, and I do encourage everyone, we're going to try to read through the Bible in a year. I know most of us didn't make it. We're going to print out new schedules. Just pick up from where you left off, right? But you have a burst, you know, for another week or two. You get back on track. And then you get so proud of yourself, and then there it goes, right? Another 2 months have gone by, and you haven't done your daily reading. And that's what we do, you know. A lot of times, when we grow, right? And again, the growth is good. When we grow, we congratulate ourselves. But the thing we have to realize is any growth that we had, it was all from Jesus anyways. We had to remember it was all from Jesus anyways. Like Paul said, it was Christ who laid hold of me. I had nothing to boast in. It was Christ who laid hold of me, and he wants me to, he has an idea, he has a picture of what he wants me to be. I'm not there yet. And we all need to have this in our mind that as we grow, I mean, here's the thing, right? When we grow, as an example, you know, last night was an exciting night. At around 9:40, 10 o'clock, my cell phone stopped working. You know, I had my old cell phone had been cracked. I guess I'm heavy. I shouldn't put it in my back pocket. I sit on it. Things bend and break. So things have been cracked. And so I got a refurbished phone, exact same model, and transferred everything over on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, Jason. Anyways, it lasted 3 days, and last night it stopped working. It would no longer recognize the SIM card. It's like a brand new refurbished phone. And so I spent maybe 40 minutes to an hour trying to troubleshoot. And Alice could tell I was, you know, and she was asking me, Are you okay? Is everything okay? I said, no, things are not okay. Are you frustrated? Yes, I'm frustrated. new phone is not working. Well, good thing I have my old phone still, so transferred everything over. Then, if that wasn't enough, 15 minutes later, our Comcast internet connection stopped working. Lord, why? Right? And so I spent about half an hour on the phone. I spent about half an hour troubleshooting on my own, then half an hour on the phone, talked to a service tech, and we went through it, and we finally got it working. Long story short, last night, and those of you that know me know that when I get frustrated, I kind of lose my cool. Last night, I didn't lose my cool. Last night, when I was on the phone with the service tech, I was very polite. Even as he asked me for the third time, sir, can you please reboot your modem? I've done it six times already, but yes, we'll do it again. And you know, I spoke very nicely, and we got through it, we fixed everything. I managed not to lose my cool, I managed not to go for Zerk, and you know, there I was patting myself on the back. Jason, you've grown so much. You've done it. You're not that mean guy anymore, you're not flying off the handle. In the middle of all that, I realized, you know what, Jason, you still have problems. Because these things, you know, they're not big issues. Tomorrow there's Sunday service, you're supposed to be getting ready. You have better things to be working on. Why are you allowing yourself to be distracted? Why are you allowing yourself to keep jumping down one rabbit hole after another? Can you not see that these are distractions from the enemy to take your focus off of what you should be doing? And right now I was like, oh, you know what? So much for patting myself on the back. There's always going to be more room to grow. Not that we need to be down on ourselves, but we need to be careful not to be satisfied with how much we've grown. And this thing, here we are, right, at the end of 2019. You know, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the race that we ran this year. We need to be thankful for where we have come. But we need to remember the race is not over. The race is not over. Paul says it himself. He says, I haven't attained. I haven't reached that goal. I know that I need to keep going, right? And so whatever it is that you've accomplished this year, whatever milestones you think you've crossed, whatever accolades you've earned, whatever personal records you've achieved, I want to use the words of Paul to encourage you. Brethren, do not count yourself to have apprehended. But one thing you should do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wherever you find yourself this morning in your walk with the Lord, know this, that the Lord God, our High King in heaven, He has called us to more. No matter how much you have grown, and I am happy for that, understand that Jesus has called you to more. And so never stop pursuing. Never relent. Always, always be pressing on. Not that you're not good enough, but because Jesus has given all of Himself to you. And none of us have attained it all yet. And so here at the end of 2019, I hope this is an encouragement to you as you look forward to the new year. Press on. Whatever you've done well this year, good. Do it better next year. Keep pressing on to what the Lord has called us to. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us through another year. And what a year it's been. And we are filled with thanks for the many ways that you have blessed us. We are filled with thanks, as our brother Peter prayed earlier, for the way that you have led us, Lord. But we are not satisfied with that. Give us a holy dissatisfaction, Lord. May we always be hungry for more of you in our lives. I pray that you would help us, Jesus, as we continue to grow, to not stop, Lord, but to keep pressing on and to keep pursuing you all the more. Pray these things in Jesus' name.